So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Well, it's day 7 of 2024, so 359 to go, because it's a leap year this year. I don't know how you're feeling so far. Maybe you are feeling optimistic and hopeful and excited and encouraged that 2024 might be different to 2023. Or I wonder, are you already feeling the weight as you look into the year ahead, the weight of all that needs to be done, the weight of all the unknowns, those things that you just don't know how they are going to unfold? Or maybe it's the weight of the things that you do know as you look into the year ahead that are already making you feel tired or exhausted or weary. You're thinking, well, Christmas was supposed to be a break. Christmas was supposed to be a restful break. And yet, as we start a new year, I feel more tired than before Christmas began. Well, the author to the Hebrews, at the end of verse 3, he tells us that he's writing this so that we will not grow weary and that we will not lose heart. He's writing to people who did grow weary and did lose heart, like us. Human beings who do grow weary, who do grow tired, who do face discouragement. And yet he writes this to us so that we will not grow weary or lose heart. And so, in a sense, what we're given in these few verses is two resolutions. So I don't know if you've made any New Year's resolutions. We're given two resolutions, and they are just this: to get rid and to get running. And we're going to think about those in a few moments' time. But before we start thinking about these resolutions, we need to ask the question, what's going to make these resolutions any different to any of the other resolutions that we make? So I'm sure, like me, you have made New Year's resolutions over the years that a week afterwards or a month afterwards, you've failed in keeping the resolution. So what's going to make a difference when we consider these resolutions? What's going to make a difference is this, that any resolutions that we make as followers of Jesus are always in response to what God has already done. So anything that we commit to doing are always in response to what God has already done. The author to the Hebrews has spent 10 chapters telling us what God has done in Jesus, holding up Jesus for us so that we might see him, that we might see that we're forgiven. For those who have believed, we're forgiven, we're accepted, we're belonging, we have eternal life in him, that he has done all this for us. And even chapter 11, which gives us this long list of people, they too are looking to God. They have faith in God. And so any resolutions that we make are not in order to make God love us. They're not in order to make us accepted. They're not in order to make us better. They're not in order to do away with our guilt or our sin or our shame. God has already done all that for us. But it's in light of what he has done that we want to resolve to do what he calls us to do. And so they're not really New Year's resolutions. Maybe you could call them new life resolutions. That we have this new life in Christ, and so we want to resolve to do what he calls us to do. And so there are two here, get rid and get running. So the first resolution is this, to get rid. And we see that in verse 1, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. So let us throw off everything, every weight that would hinder us. Now, this isn't a question of good things and bad things. This is a question of things that hinder us, that slow us down, that stop us, that are a weight on us. Get rid of anything that hinders, we're told. Some of the first European explorers to try and get from the south of Australia to the north of Australia to chart a course straight up the middle of the continent through this desert, barren wilderness, took different approaches to it. So one guy, he decided that what he needed to do was bring everything with him, including his dining room table. So he had his servants carry the dining room table with him. Another guy, he decided what I need to do is get rid of everything that's going to hinder me in this journey. So he meticulously weighed everything, the stirrups of his horses, got the lightest that he could possibly get. Now, there's no prizes for guessing which one succeeded. The one who had got rid of everything that would hinder him. He was the one who got all the way up to the north of Australia. And we're told here to get rid of everything that would hinder us. I have a friend who loves movies, and he'll sometimes ask me, is it okay to watch this movie? Is it okay to watch that movie? Sometimes it's clearly not okay as a follower of Jesus to watch this particular movie, but sometimes it's not so clear. And so this is a helpful question to ask. Not so much is it right or wrong, although that's an important one, but is it a hindrance to you? Is watching this movie a hindrance to you? Is it going to unsettle you? Is it going to distract you? Is it going to tempt you? Is it going to mean you're waking up tired the next morning? Is it hindering you from following Jesus? That's a helpful question to ask in light of what the author to the Hebrews says here. For you, it may not be movies or screen time. It may be a particular friendship. It may be a particular pleasure. It may be a particular relationship that is hindering you in your following of Jesus. We're told to get rid of what hinders us, and not only to get rid of what hinders us, but also to get rid of, verse 1, the sin that so easily entangles. Now, this is a question of right and wrong, the sin that so easily entangles. This is a question of good and bad. And you know that some sins will entangle you or entangle me in a way that they won't entangle others, other people. Some of us could be entangled by some things that others won't. We're told here to make a resolution to get rid of us, to get rid of it. As you look back in 2023, are you able to see those things that were entangling you? Those sins that were stopping you from running? Sometimes I try to be really efficient when I go from one room of the house to the other. So I might be carrying my laptop, and I'll think, well, there's no point in just carrying my laptop. I'll carry the lead for the laptop as well. So I'll put the lead on top. And then I'll think, well, no point in just carrying the laptop and the lead. I'll carry the monitor that I use as well. So I'll have the monitor, and the monitor has a plug coming out of it with a lead and a HDMI cable with a lead. And then I'll think, well, I'll need my phone. So I'll put the phone on top, and then the phone needs to be charged, so I'll put the charger on top as well. And so I'll try and carry it all, maybe up the stairs or down the stairs. And as I do that, within about 3 seconds, what starts to happen is the leads start to slip off what I'm carrying, and they dangle around my feet. And if somebody says to me, now run, I'm not going to be able to run. I'm not going to be able to move. I'm getting entangled in it. And the author to the Hebrews says, whatever it is, whatever sin is entangling us, we're to get rid of it. We know a couple, we're friends with a couple, and the the wife of the couple, she started following Jesus some years ago. And she started running this race of faith that the author of the Hebrews talks about. And chatting to her husband afterwards, we asked him, what did you notice in your wife that was different when she started following Jesus? And he said, well, here was one of the things I noticed. And he checked with her if it was okay to say this. One of the things I noticed was this. She wasn't angry anymore. She wasn't angry anymore. Before she started following Jesus, she could give me the silent treatment for days on end. But when she started following Jesus with this new life, this new heart, for all that he had done for her, she knew she couldn't keep sinning like this. She got rid of the anger out of her life. And that was one of the things that were really noticeable that she had gotten rid of. And so this is the first resolution we're told in this section, is to get rid of hindrances and to get rid of the sin that so easily entangles us. And the second resolution is this, to get running. Verse 1, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, that doesn't literally mean to start running down McCurtain Street. It's an image, and the image, of course, is intended to convey movement and progress and going forward and moving towards a goal. And of course, running is not easy. It can be hard, it can be challenging, and the more you run, the more difficult it can become at times. And that's why the author to the Hebrews here highlights the fact that we are to run with perseverance, with endurance. It's in those moments when we want to give up, when we want to slow down, when we think, oh, I'll just take my foot off the pedal. Do I really need to be reading my Bible? Do I really need to be coming to church? Do I really need to be praying for these people? We do. We need to run with endurance, with perseverance. I wonder, as you reflect on your life as a follower of Jesus, is it characterized by running? Or, like me sometimes, is it more like being in a waiting room? Inactive, passive. Instead of running the race that is marked out for us, as we're told in verse 1, running this race that God has prepared for us to run. Well, if you're sitting there thinking, I can't do it, I can't run with perseverance, I can't run with endurance, well, you're right, you can't. But in light of everything that God has done, and in light of everything that he is doing, he will enable you to. And if you're sitting there thinking, I can do it, I'm afraid you can't. Not in your own strength, but in light of what God has done, and in light of what he is doing in you, you can. And so these are two resolutions that the author gives us, get rid and get running. But let's dwell a little bit on this question of how. So how do we do this? We were reflecting at the start that so many New Year's resolutions fail. And you know, gym owners, they prepare for this. I don't know if there's any gym owners here, but they know. This time of year, 85% of the busiest days in the gym, right at this time of year. 6 months' time, 10% of gym members are still going to the gym. I don't even become a member in the first place, so I'm not one of those statistics. But that's what gym owners know, and so they prepare for this. They give offers, they give incentives. Come on, join the gym. And there's a name for this phenomenon. It's called paying to not go to the gym. And so gym owners are aware of this. So how is it that these two resolutions, to get rid and get running, are not just going to fall by the wayside? Well, here's how. The author tells us to look to Jesus. Verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. And you notice that he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. He doesn't say, fix your eyes on Jesus. He says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, which shows that this is the way in which we are to run. This is the way in which we are to get rid of these things. This characterizes it. This defines it. It's not just part of it. This is all of it. As we make these resolutions, it is fixing our eyes on Jesus. I used to work in a golf course, and on one of the first days there, the head greenkeeper told me how to cut grass. Here's how you cut grass, okay? He said, you pick a point in the distance with the lawnmower. You pick a point in the distance and you walk towards it. You keep your eyes on that point, you walk towards it. And as you do that, you will cut a perfectly straight line of grass. It works. You should try it if you're cutting your grass at some point this week. That's how you cut grass. That's the way you do it. And the author to the Hebrews says, this is how you do these resolutions, by fixing your eyes on Jesus. And as we fix our eyes on him, what do we see? We see that he is the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Verse 2, he's the pioneer and perfecter. You know, as we read about Jesus in the Gospels and in the Bible, what do we see? We see that he started, he kept going, and he finished this race with God perfectly. Never falling, never failing, never sinning, always trusting, always believing, always clinging to his Father. He endured. We're called to persevere and endure. He endured. Verse 2, he endured the cross. Verse 3, he endured opposition from sinners. He has done it. He's not just the pioneer, the one who has started it, but he has perfected it. He has brought it to completion. He says it is finished, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. We see that in verse 2. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's not running anymore because he has finished the race. That's the one that we fix our eyes on. And it's not just that he has started and finished the race. He has started and finished the race for us, on our behalf, in our place. And so the race that he has run is for us. And this is why we are welcomed into this perfect relationship with him. But then what he does is he enables us in our race. He strengthens us in our race. He's not just the starter and finisher of his race. He's the starter and finisher of our race. The faith that you have, think about what Paul says to the Ephesians. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. This is a gift of God. The faith that you have is given to you by Jesus. He has begun you on this journey. And as Paul says in the letter to the Philippians, he will bring it to completion. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Who is enabling you to run this race? Who is enabling you to get rid and to get running? It's Jesus. He started it and he'll finish it. Jesus is like this mountain climber. And he has climbed the mountain that nobody else has ever climbed. The impossible mountain. He has done it. And he's never slipped. He's never fallen. And you think, wow, isn't that amazing? But then what he does is he lets a rope down, which is tied around our waist. And what he does is, as we climb and follow him, he is the one strengthening us. He is the one at the top of the mountain holding us. So that if we slip, if we fall, he has us. He has us. He is bearing our weight. Even as we climb, we can feel him drawing us upwards, enabling us to climb. And so he is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith as well. And so we follow him. We walk where he walked. We endure where he endured. We take up our cross and follow him as we endure suffering. And we will. This year, we see his footsteps. He has endured suffering. As we endure opposition, and we will, We see his footsteps. He endured opposition. But he endured opposition and he endured suffering for the joy that was set before him in verse 2. And whatever we face this year, we can be sure that he has set joy before us that is unimaginable, that we cannot get our heads and our hearts around. And so we will want to get rid of anything that hinders us, of any sin that entangles us, and get running because of what he has prepared for us. We will get through the suffering, we will get through the opposition, and one day we will get to him. He will enable us to do that. He will bring us through, and we will be in his presence forever. And so we're encouraged to make these resolutions, to get rid and to get running, looking to Jesus, fixing our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, you know how we have made resolutions in the past and have failed. And so, Lord, we ask as we reflect on what we are called to do from your word here, to get rid and to get running, we ask, Lord, that you'd help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Lord, he is the one who has done everything that we could not. Not only has he done everything for us, but he is also the one who enables us to run and enables us to get rid. And so, Lord, we look to him and we pray that you'd help us to keep looking to him in the days ahead. Amen.